Worship space, the place where you worship right now, our space at our church, we've moved out of there and we're painting ceilings. We took the ceiling tiles out. We're going to paint the ceiling black. I'm going to do a little video of before and then after so you can see the space, and I'm going to talk in our space why we're doing things. We're doing things for sound reason. We're doing things for... Your space will dictate a lot of how you worship together. And so we're going to go over that. The physical space where you worship can communicate your church vision. A common church vision: to walk with God, to walk with God's people, and to share our God walk with those who do not yet have a walk with God. So that's a common vision. Most churches, you know, they want to worship God. They want to do something together as believers. And then they want to reach out beyond that. And our space and what we do with that space either can help or hinder our worship together. Space in our walk with God. Number one, creation. Genesis 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And we get this picture that Adam and Eve were actually, they actually walked with God in the garden. And the garden was a space. It had all the wonder of God's creation and the colors and the sights and the sounds. And somehow that space created a good place to have a relationship with God. And so we talk about how do we worship God, you know, on our own, or the walk in the woods. And how does our worship space reflect creation? Number two, holy ground. Exodus 3, verse 5. God said, "Take off your sandals, for the place, the actual place where you are standing, is holy ground." Well, how do you create space that feels like holy ground? Number three, the temple. The temple, this is a rendition of Solomon's temple. And the temple had sort of the outer court where anyone could go. And then you came into the main part of the temple, and then there was the Holy of Holies. And that space actually dictated the worship. In the outer courts, there's noise and a lot going on. But as you move towards the Holy of Holies, it became, the space made you more and more reverent, the very presence of God. So the space actually contributed to the feeling of what kind of worship we're going to do. And then cathedrals. I mean, cathedrals were built many years ago. Here's the inside of one, and they were built tall and very high. And they did that on purpose because they wanted you to go into this space. And you know, back in the day, these were the tallest buildings in the world. And people would walk in and they'd be filled with awe and wonder, and it was designed that way so people would come in and it'd be like, God is big and he's expansive, and the sound reverberates like nowhere else in creation. And so it was like this unique experience that people could have just going to the cathedral. A lot of the cathedrals were built in the shape of a cross. If you took the airplane view, and they did that on purpose. They wanted the space to reflect the whole belief system and our dependence on Christ. Space in our walk with God. Number five, churches. A lot of churches today still have relatively high ceilings, maybe not as high as cathedrals, but they are certainly higher than most buildings. If you go in your own home, once in a while, someone will have what we call a cathedral ceiling. It may be two stories high. But generally, churches have maybe three, four-story high space. And what are you doing with that space? It's not like you're living in that space. It just, again, lifts your spirit up. The sound is a lot better the higher the ceiling. In churches, we have the furniture that sort of contributes some meaning. There's the pulpit. A lot of times that's right in the center, and churches are trying to say the Word of God is the center. That's our focus. It's not about human beings. It's about what God has to say to us today. And then there's the baptismal font is usually somewhere up there. It's a reminder of coming in, new people coming into the faith. The Lord's table is usually somewhere prominent, and it's symbolically saying we are a body of Christ, and we gather around the Lord's table because of what He has done for us. All these things in this space is communicating to the people there, and it helps us worship better. Space in our walk with each other. So all the space somehow helps us in our walk with God, but it also, the space helps us walk with each other. In our homes, we have family rooms and kitchens, and we have tables, and all those things in that space helps us do family. We sit at a table. Usually it's rounded, and so we can see each other, and we're a small enough group that everyone can talk to everyone. We don't sit in rows when we're in our homes, because it's about our relationship, and everything in the home is sort of built to make those relationships go well. Small groups will meet in a space, and small groups again will meet in a circle, 10, 12 people in a circle, because we're small enough, we can all contribute, and the expectation is that everyone contributes. Note, most churches were, are number three, groups of 50 or more. Okay, so small groups can still get in a big circle, but when you start having 50 or more people, it's hard to get into a big circle. If you do get into a big circle with 50 people, you really can't talk to the people way across the room, and so you end up talking to two people. And so really that space inhibits you. And so what happened, because the church started out in homes for the first 300 years, and then under Charlemagne, when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, then all of a sudden buildings were used. But before that, people met in homes, and maybe you could cram 50, 60 people in a home, but you could still talk to each other. But when Christianity started getting into buildings, you have 100 people or 200 people, you can't get into a big circle. And so churches tended to, because it was easy to build buildings that way, they tended to be in what I would call the portrait orientation. So like a piece of paper, it's rectangular, but it's the narrow view. So the pulpit and where the worship leaders stand is at one end, and then it's the people go in rows far back. That was typically the way it was. It was easy to build, it was easy to set up, and new churches tend to be built the other way. So the landscape orientation. So in a landscape orientation, you've got the front, and then the chairs and the congregation sort of fan around you so that they're off to the side, they're in front of you, they're off to the side. Whereas in the portrait orientation, here's the front, and then everyone sits in a long ways going back. The advantages of the landscape orientation, so where you have the people sitting more around you. Number one, the people see each other and feed off from each other. It's like if you've ever been to a football game, whether it's soccer or American football, you go to these big stadiums and they're rounded, and you're watching the game at the center, but you're also watching the game all around you. The stadium experience is quite unique, and you see people when they're cheering, and as they stand up and cheer, you stand up and cheer, and there's often, people will do the wave, and they'll stand up, and it'll go all the way around the stadium. It's like there's almost a game going on in the stadium, and then there's a game going on the field. And so when people come to church, and they can sort of see each other, and this one over here is singing really, with all the passion that he can, and someone over here sees that, and it inspires them to sing in the same way. It's like we're in this together. Number two, you can still see what is happening on the stage, but the stage isn't everything. In the portrait, the stage is front and center. Everyone is facing the stage, and it's like this is what's important. And then people could just as well stay at home and watch it on television, because they're not really engaging with the people around them. Number three, the people can be closer to the front of the stage. If you have the same number of people coming to your church, if you have the portrait They're sitting way to the back in the landscape. They're fanned around you, so no one is really that far from whatever's happening on the stage, and people feel like they're more a part of it. The disadvantages of the landscape orientation. Number one, controlling sound is more difficult. It's easier in a rectangle to just shoot the sound down the rectangle. But when you have sound going all around you, you have something going this way and this way and this way, and then the waves and the sound bounces off the walls, and it's a whole lot harder to control. I think it's worth it. You know, that's I'll show you some of that with when we finish our renovation, because that's what we're doing. The old setup we had was the portrait orientation, where here's the front and everyone sits like this, and we tried to fan it out as best we could, but you just couldn't in the portrait way. And so we had two speakers for the people, and the sound was reasonably good. But now we're going to go and turn the church this way, and we're going to fan the people out. So now we have to put the speakers in the ceiling. They can't be on poles. There's a whole lot more complicated when you do that. And you have to be aware that you know, if I'm speaking on the stage, I don't just have everyone right in front of me. So I can't just talk, you know, like this, like I'm talking to the camera. The camera's right there. I just talk this direction. But if there were 10 cameras all the way around, I have to make sure that I talk way over there and over here and over there. And I have to walk in that direction. I have to walk in that direction. So it's something that the people on stage have to be aware of. Space and the sharing of our walk with God with those who do not yet have a walk. So our vision statements are about our relationship to God. So we create space where we can worship God, and it helps us worship God. We also create space where, you know, we believers come, and it inspires us to be together. There's something about the body coming together in one place, and the space can help make that happen. But then, okay, so how does the space help us with our outreach? How does it help with new people that are coming to our church? So number one, a couple things just to think about. Back rows are for visitors, not church members. Typically in churches, for whatever reason, some members want to sit in the back. Part of it, I think, is they want to sit in the back so they can watch who's coming in, and somehow that's a treat. I don't know. My family, we always sat right in the front. But new people come to your church, and they're not sure about this whole thing. And their mindset is, okay, I'm going to come, but if I don't like what I see, I want to be able to get out of this. I want to be able to escape, and escape easily. So you let them feel comfortable. They'll feel comfortable sitting in the back where it feels like they could get out if they have to. But if the church people are sitting there, then there's no back row. Number two, create worship space that's inviting. If you have worship space that has all kinds of symbols on the walls and things that they don't understand, and they walk in and they go, okay, what kind of place is this? They don't understand anything that's on the walls, and it just looks like an intimidating space. You know, they'll feel uncomfortable. Number three, create worship space that's not intimidating. And have it friendly and warm. Have a welcome table when they come in. Have someone hand them stuff and tell them, you know, this is what our worship service is like. And, you know, they can read ahead of time. You know, we sing a few songs, and you can listen if you'd like, because you don't know those songs. We're going to have an offering, but, you know, that's really for our members. It's not necessarily for you. You're not committed to this group yet. So it's like, how can we create this space? The color on the walls is inviting. It's not harsh. It's not this weird, strange place. You know, like I walk in and I'm in another planet that I don't know what these things are. I see some flowers and I see some plants, and it just feels like a garden, or it feels like a nice, comfortable space. So next we're going to be looking at lighting.